Welcome to Everything Life Coaching. I'm John Kim.
And I'm Noelle Cordeau. We are the founders of Lumia.
And we're super passionate about all things coaching, and we want to share what we've learned from over a decade of coaching and training thousands of life coaches.
Let's dive into the science and magic of coaching.
On today's episode, two heads are better than one.
Yes.
Yes. And like that includes us, Noelle and I. Two heads are definitely better than one. Yeah,
it does. And I mean, honestly, I think that's a great kickoff for our topic. Of course, mm-hmm. I have a ton of really cool, juicy research. But if we're thinking really strategically, and we're thinking about coaching, and we're thinking about 2024 and the challenges that we all face, how much better is it for you? Because I know it is for me when I have a friend to talk to about stuff or somebody that I trust.
It's everything. It's really everything. It's the difference between isolating and then, you know, falling into what I call a very slippery well, distorted thoughts, feeling very alone. You know, the dangerous part is when you start to feel hopeless. When you don't feel hope, that's when you really fall. So having someone else, whether it is your therapist, your business partner, your friend who injects hope in some way, just simply by maybe getting you to see something differently, is huge.
It's huge. Yeah. It's huge. And so as we've been kind of rolling through coaching, rolling through the trends, thinking about the direction of the industry, one of the terms that you coined and that I've been tossing around is social first responders. That coaches have to.
I didn't know I coined that, but I must have been through our conversations. Yeah. All right. Another t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. But coaches as social first responders and really thinking about, like, okay, you know, what are the things that people are struggling with? Loneliness is the big, huge one out there. And then from there, we can drill down, okay, into relationships, you know, sexuality. And then when we're even thinking about, you know, career, so much anxiety comes from the relationship that people have with uncertainty in terms of who am I going to be? What am I going to do? How am I going to perform? And this is all taking place while the social fabric of the world that we live in seems to be, you know, shifting around us. So I was thinking about this and I was like, okay, coaching as a discipline, what coaches do is they come in, they work with a human and they bring a completely unbiased perspective, hope, and a genuine belief that this human is capable of figuring out their path forward.
Capable. That's the big word. I mean, most of us do not feel that we have the ability to, you know, and whatever that is, right? Or that we don't deserve to.
And that's the number one tenet of person-centered coaching, which is one of the concepts that we train in at Lumia, is that people are naturally resilient and they are whole, capable, and good. And so a coach, you know, comes into a relationship with that perspective. And I was thinking what that could do for society if everyone had access to somebody that was unbiased, that didn't have any stock in their lives, that wasn't profiting from their existence, just to say, hey, let's sit down and figure out how you can access your own genius to move the ball forward.
Yeah, and can I just insert for any naysayers that we're not just talking about cheerleaders, and this is why coach training is so important, right? So we're not just talking about someone that's like, you got this, you know, I believe in you, because that can actually almost feel patronizing. That can be almost annoying, right? When I'm in a dark place, I don't want strangers to just say things because they're trying to lift me up, and it doesn't land well. But if it is someone that I have a relationship with, like you, if it is someone that I trust, or if it's a professional relationship, right, that matters too. And I know that they're certified as a coach, then they're using techniques. They're using a safe space. They're not just waving pom-poms.
Absolutely. It's the language that I am more and more using to define coaching is that when you work as a coach, what you're doing is strategic facilitation.
Strategic facilitation. Yeah.
Yeah. That you're facilitating a conversation where somebody takes a break from their everyday life and really just dumps out all the life Legos, mm-hmm. and coach and client put their heads together. Coach view, client view. What do we see? What do we know? What are the feelings? What are the facts? What are the obstacles? What are the blockers? And rolling through things in that way, using your prefrontal cortex, your logic center, that doesn't come naturally to humans.
Yeah.
We go to our emotional brain, which is the limbic system, mm-hmm. and that's level of consciousness as horses, apes, cows, pack animals, herd animals. And then that's how most people navigate their way through the world. But with coaching, all the steps that you're talking about, all the strategies actually force the brain to slow down enough to get into that logic center.
You know, when you said strategic facilitation, the other thing I thought about it's a huge misconception when it comes to coaching. Facilitation is such a more accurate word than what people think most coaches do, which is give advice, right? So when you're facilitating, you're actually orchestrating, you're actually allowing the process to unfold. You're not manipulating, you're not controlling, you're not grabbing. So I don't know if that's helpful for anyone listening who is curious about coaching. You are strategically facilitating, which takes such a load off on the responsibility you put on yourself to change someone's life. That's not really what's happening.
Oh, yeah. I did a mentor session with one of our students yesterday, and the big aha moment that came out of the session was the knowledge that as a coach, when you constantly recenter the client, well, what do you think? Well, what do you feel? Mm-hmm. What did you hear when I said that? What do you see about this situation? You're building the client's relationship with their own agency. Mm-hmm. And that beyond the ripples of the session, it's like any other muscle, it's habit building. You know, so, well, let me ask you, because I asked myself the same question yesterday. How often, as you're going through your day and you're making choices and you're making decisions, do you stop and ask yourself, John, what do you think?
Not that much. Not that much. I just go. I have a checklist. I have things I got to do. I don't stop and ask myself, what do I think? Maybe for like lunch, I'll ask, what do I think? What do I want? But that's it, man. I'm just on autopilot.
You're right. I do the same thing, except for meals. I do very carefully what kind of food I want to eat. But that really sat with me because I'm a professional strategist. You know, that's what I do for businesses, for coaching clients. And I never turn that lens on myself. Mm-hmm. And it's really that juxtaposition of having a prompt, having a facilitator to work you through a situation that is forcing your brain into higher levels of thinking that we don't typically have access to on our
everyday. You know, and also exercising muscles that we're not used to. And this is a great example is, you know, how often do you ask yourself what you need or what you want or, you know, throughout the day?
And really just create the space even to strategize. That's something that I've learned through my entrepreneurship journey is like thinking is work. Like if you're taking the time to actually sit down, map something out, think something through, like that is part of the work process. And it's so taken for granted, I think, you know, in a lot of different ways. And then there's the relationship between coach and client, which according to ICF standards is built upon empathy, you know, trust and safety. And there's also a scientific component there as well. Barbara Fredrickson is a positive psychology researcher that I love and talk about often. And it is a global truth that humans need hope and other associated positive emotions in order to function. In order to function, like humans need hope and positive emotions, right?
So
thinking about that, where do you get your hope and your positive emotions from in the course of your life?
Well, first, can I just say that if I don't make it intentional and I don't make it an effort, my default is actually lack of hope and negative emotions. So that's my homeostasis. Just because like everyone else, I don't believe in myself sometimes. I have disordered thinking. I've got false beliefs. You know, I feel a loud ticking clock as I get older. So all of these things, societal constructs, shoulds. So intentionally, as a practice, injecting hope and then a sense of, I call it higher frequency, a sense of living, you know, kind of on a higher plane. If I don't do that every day, or at least set out to, I snap back. And so, yeah, it's super important. The way I do it is, lately I've been focusing more on my state, as in going through body and nervous system, more so than logic. I used to be a very, very logical person, and I noticed it was very slippery. So things in life, like an ice plunge, a motorcycle ride, a fitness class, I call them life anchors, right? Having little life anchors in your life, a meaningful conversation with a friend. This is what we started talking about. And then the ability to produce joy. And speaking of positive psychology, I used to only put a black light to what was wrong in my life. I think positive psychology is kind of the art to putting a black light to what's good in your life, right? To find the gold in the rainbow, because it's not all in a giant pot at the end of the rainbow.
Yes, yeah. so much of that. And it takes, as you've described, it takes like a practice and training to do this. And so coaches are trained to help their clients center on the positive, center on hope, tap into to their own capability, harness a belief in their own capability, look at their strengths, look at what they've done before. You know, people do hard things all the time, and then when they're starting a new hard thing, they're faced with, you know, crippling anxiety. Can I do it? Well, you've done other hard things in the past. You know, let's take a look forward. So the aspect of coaching is, in this work, is really helping the client train their brain exactly in the way that you're describing. And going back to the idea of coaches as social first responders, this is really important right now. So pre-pandemic, there was a survey conducted by Cigna, and that survey found that 1/4 of the folks who live in the U.S. don't feel that they have anyone in their life that understands them. Only 50% of society feels that they have meaningful interactions with other people every day.
Yeah, it's so sad. I mean, it's also, it's not only sad, but then it's also telling.
Yeah.
Makes sense, you know?
It makes sense. So we're at a point in time where social skills around connection, belonging, hope, capability. And it's nobody's fault. You know, like, we all tromped forward in the course of our lives. Tech adoption hit, pandemic hit, you know, a lot of different aspects of society have been splintered. There's a lot of really big forces in the world that are separating people right now. Mm-hmm. And what I see is coaches coming in to fill the gaps in ways that churches used to, or civic society used to help people orient themselves to who they are, what meaning is, what purpose is, what they want to do, how they can connect. And it's basically like boot camp for your heart and soul. Working with
your coach. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we're thinking about this, you know, the other part of it is the feeling that comes along with being isolated, and that's the feeling of being stuck. And the root of stuckness is often isolation. Have you ever made that connection between isolation and stuckness? What do we think about that?
I think they're related. I know that when I isolate, and I'm not talking about solitude, which is, you know, a needed recharge, but when I isolate, I feel more stuck. Mm-hmm. Also, when I feel more stuck, I find myself isolating, not reaching out, you know, creating my own prison.
Yeah. And really, when we come down to it, okay, you know, what is the issue at hand with isolation, feeling stuck, kind of that loop going back and forth? It's a lack of access to an alternative way of thinking about things and seeing things in the world. And that one hit me like a ton of bricks because I was like, well, shit, that's what coaches do. Like that is the whole point of strategic facilitation, is to help your client bust out of the way of thinking that they've been kind of trapped in and see other possibilities, other realities. And when we sit by ourselves and we don't have any way to jostle our mindset, that's when our negative stories actually become our reality.
Yeah. And I want to remind people that, you know, coaching isn't like you do one session and your life changes overnight, you know, like therapy. That's also not the case. So when we use words like practice, integration, lifestyle, change happens. Well, yeah, sometimes change happens fast. Sometimes it happens slow, you know, as long as it is happening. So there's time required, right? And this is why a lot of coaches buy packages or sell packages. They're like, I want to work with you for more than one session. Let's work for 3 months or let's work, you know, and that's when we see the best results.
Absolutely. I can tell you a great way to, I think, close out this one is a tale of two clients. So I have one client who I have been working with for years, And they came to me initially wanting to build an app. And the thing is never the thing. That's what I've learned in all these years of coaching. You know, the thing is never the thing. And over the years, we've gone on such a journey of self-love, self-exploration, passions, commitment, relationships, you know, really getting this human's life into a whole person elevated state. My client chose to follow their dream and go off and become an author. And we just had a session after, I think about 5 years, where my client said, I'm ready to take the training wheels off. I don't need to do weekly sessions anymore. Can I call you? And I was like, yes.
Yeah. It means you're doing your job.
Yes. I have another client who is one of those go, 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 just like really rapid thinkers, doers. And we are only 5 sessions in, and this human has changed their life, quit their job, and is building a company.
Can I ask, you said 5 sessions in?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great example of how fast someone can change. And then also,
how slow.
Yeah. Everything in between.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what this comes back to is in coach training, you learn to match the speed of the learner. Client number one, went at the pace that was right for client number one. Client number two is going at the pace that's right for client number two. They're completely different humans, have completely different formulas. And I don't know that either would have gotten to their points if they hadn't had that mirror, that space for strategic facilitation, and the constant challenging of their current thought processes. If I'm looking, okay, well, what specifically was effective? It was constant challenging of current thought processes. Well, is there another way? Is there another way to see things? Is there another way to do things? And, you know, that's why I think two heads are better than one. That's my case for coaching in the 21st century.
I love it. If anything, what a great reminder today that you're not meant to do life alone.
No.
And, two heads, doesn't matter who the head of the other person is, but I think we both think a coach is imperative. Two heads are better than one. So go find the other head for you in your life if you don't have one.
And if you want to be one of the heads, come see us at Lumia.
Yes, yes. Thank you for listening. Be well.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to Everything Life Coaching. If you're feeling the draw to become a coach, head to lumiacoaching.com/everything. Explore a new career that brings fulfillment, gives you a true sense of purpose, and a bold community to do it with.
Lumia is ready to equip you with the tools, training, and community you will need to reach your goals. If you're ready to build a unique coaching business on your own terms, while making an impact on the world at large, Lumia is the next bold step in your coaching journey. That's lumiacoaching.com/everything.
And hey, if you're waiting for a sign, this is it.